fragile as a soap bubble. I have to leave, she said. Wait. I placed my hands on each side of her face and stared into her eyes. Memorizing. Bars of light broke her face into bands of sun and shadow. I let her go. Chapter 26. The police got no resistance from those kids that night. The arresting officer told me they were all standing like they were in some kind of trance. The violence bled out of them. Young Stewart's father got to the station with a sedative and a lawyer, but later the kid pled guilty anyway. The only place we went wrong was letting Rob Haynes, or whatever his real name is, out on bond. He and his mother both hit the wind. I heard he was in Mexico for a while, and now he's in Costa Rica. No extradition there. Bob DeMarco's lawyer got a separate trial and put the whole thing on Rob Haynes and the Stewart kid. DeMarco's lawyer cut a deal, and he got a suspended sentence with miles of probation. Stewart could have gotten the same deal if he'd wanted it. But he wouldn't testify against the others. Eric Larson, Brazos County District Attorney. The big buzz in the hallways was about Rob's unselfish desire for Simon to have a senior year to remember by being elected class favorite, and about the fact that Simon would be squiring Fair Rana to the favorite's dance. Monday morning we voted in our government classes for favorites. I noticed the glass seemed confident, but knowing he had Rana Perry in his corner could do that. Thursday was Valentine's Day, and while plenty of flowers arrived throughout the day for one girl or another, nothing matched the 24 blushing peach roses for Rana Perry. The favorite's dance was the following Saturday. I was going stag. That night, as I struggled into my suit and knotted my tie, I mulled for the 100th time that this dance was a mirror image of homecoming. Rob was taking Blair, Bobster was again with Ginger, but this time Simon was with Rana and I was alone. I arrived at the Commons early so no one would notice my entrance. No tacky mirrored ball for this dance. Clouds of wispy material floated overhead and tiny lights twinkled through them like stars. Machines blew white fog along the floor so that feet disappeared up to ankles. The dancing couples appeared to be cavorting in the heavens with clouds above and below. The Commons had disappeared into a haze, and the atmosphere was dreamlike. Rob and Blair appeared, and their combined physical beauty was almost overpowering. Blair radiant in emerald green, and Rob way cool in charcoal gray. Bobster and Coop had double-dated. Thankfully for their dates, Bobster's dad had donated his car for the cause, and the foursome wafted hints of perfume and aftershave instead of the beach at low tide. Ginger and Amy grabbed Blair and set off for the bathrooms the minute they stepped into the swirling clouds, leaving the four of us to fetch punch. Why do they have this stuff? Tastes like cough medicine, and the girls never drink it, Bobster grumbled. Throwback to the Victorians, I said. Parties and dances were the only time men waited on the women. It's a power thing. That's young for you, Coop chortled. Always finding something in all those books he reads. I just think the girls are thirsty. He grinned. By the way, Amy wants you to dance with her at least once. I smiled at Coop. Amy, my ass. You want to make sure that I don't just stand around feeling sorry for myself. So, sue me. Okay, I give up. No wet blanket here. I intend to dance with all of your dates. Charm them out of their silky little panties. Don't blame me when they fall madly in love and beg me to run away with them. Now you sound like Bobster. Hey, did I hear my name taken in vain? Bobster said. Whoa, turn around, guys. Look who's coming in the door. Rob interrupted us. We turned. Rana stepped into the first bank of clouds near the door. She wore a white dress that hugged her slender torso, then flared into soft folds that whispered around her legs. The dress had tiny sparkles scattered all over it. She looked star-kissed. Her eyes reflected the twinkling lights above her as she smiled at the clouds, then slid one hand through her date's arm and pointed to the glowing crescent moon that hung over the band. Her date patted her fingers and smiled, obviously as enchanted with her as she was with the room. There must have been magic to spare, because Simon Glass had never looked this good. His dark suit was double-breasted and had to have been custom-cut to make him look slimmer. He didn't bumble or stumble or swipe at his nose. When he could drag his gaze from Rana, he waved at people, chatted, and smiled with a confidence and poise that seemed oddly familiar. Simon was in control. "Glassman, over here!" Coop waved a huge paw over his head. Simon looked up and smiled at Coop. When he caught sight of Rob, he gave a small nod. He looked happy to see me, too, and that singed my feathers. The fact that Simon Glass didn't consider me a threat ran up my spine and burrowed into the base of my skull like a gnawing animal. "I'm out of here," I grumbled. Rob hooked my arm and leaned into me, whispering in my ear, "You're not leaving." "I might be. Young." I cut him off. "You've got what you wanted, Rob. The voting is done and the results are calculated. I did my part. And it wouldn't have happened without you, I know that. Then don't put me through this. I can't handle it." Rob looked around. "We can't talk here. Simon and Ron are coming over. Let's go to my office." "There's no point. Humor me." Rob pushed on my shoulder, turning me around. I rolled my eyes and shook my head as I slouched along behind him. Following my leader, we threaded our way through the crowds and the clouds, turned into the shadows of the vocational hall, and followed it behind the gyms. Rob slid the key out of his pocket and unlocked the equipment room. "We need to leave the light off," Rob said as he ushered me into the dark room. I bumped into the stand of baseball bats, knocking them over and tripping on them as they rattled across the cement floor. "Shit. Be still, numb nuts. Just be still and you'll quit tripping over them." Rob's laughter was infectious. I listened to reason and stopped moving. Pretty soon my eyes adjusted to the dim light and even I saw the humor in the situation and chortled reluctantly. "Changelings," I said. Rob looked at me, obviously mystified. "Belly button," he said. Now I was befuddled. "Belly button? What's that supposed to mean?" "Damned if I know. But it makes as much sense as changelings." "Didn't anybody read you fairy tales?" Rob smiled. And I knew I had never seen Rob smile before. It wasn't his full kilowatt pulse stopper, the smile he hid behind and used to blind people. It was a soft, little smile. "Yeah," he said. "Changelings. Like the elves came and switched babies in their cradles, right?" "You got it. I think Simon and I got switched around somehow." "Yeah," he said again. "My dad used to tell me stories about stuff like that when I was little. He would tell me that I must be a changeling child. That I was magical and the elves must have brought me. I'd make him bring a mirror and we'd look into it. I'd point to his nose, then mine. And I'd point to my eyes and his and our hair and tell him that they were all alike. And he would say in his real serious voice, 'Then you must be my very own boy after all.'" I hurt for Rob, knowing what he had lost and imagining how empty it had left him. If he needed to fill that emptiness up by maneuvering the school goat into a social lion, then I hoped it worked. "I don't know, Rob. You can be kind of magical. Elves might be the reason." Rob started like I had awakened him from a trance. "Sorry about that, man. I must be getting that old-timer's disease. Talking about old times. It's okay. I might even steal it and write a prize-winning short story. Rob smiled a real smile again. Never trust your secrets to a writer. So, the creative writing scam is working? So far, so good. I'm glad, Young. Dissecting frogs just ain't your thing. Don't I know? About tonight. What about tonight, I said. I know it's hard for you. Rana here with glass and everything. I wish we'd done it some other way. I never thought Rana would react like she did. So, I don't know. So final. Don't worry about it. What I want to say is that I know what it feels like to lose somebody that you care about. I'm sorry I was the one that caused it. I did it to myself. Not without me pushing you didn't. Anyway, Young, you can't just run off when you lose something. He punched my shoulder, then leaned against the stack of tumbling mats. Don't leave tonight. Stick out the tough part, and maybe you'll get past it. Besides, I want you here. I want you to know how we made this happen. You made it happen, Rob, not me. Come on. I pointed to my neck. Okay, I'm already wearing the tie, so why the hell not? We kicked the bats aside and cleared a path to the door. The band tried valiantly to sound like they were playing music, the lead singer wiping the obligatory sweat and twisting his face into tortured expressions that were supposed to convince us that his squeaks in the high register were strangled passion rather than an outburst of Tourette's. At least most of the music was fast, and I was spared having to watch Ron and Simon slow dancing. That guy never ceases to amaze me. I looked over my shoulder to see Bobster standing behind me. Which one? Glass, who else? I followed his eyes to Simon and Rana dancing. Glass was holding his own, surprisingly graceful. When did he learn to dance like that, I asked. The only dancing I ever saw him do was that jig when he's nervous. I taught him before homecoming, remember? But then he looked like a buffalo on an ice pond. Now Dick Toes is dancing. It had been some time since I'd had a good entry for the Book of Bob. Sometimes things change, I said to Bob. Ginger floated up to us. Young, I've danced with most handsome. I need to dance with most likely to succeed. I gave her an evil leer. Careful. My charm is rumored to be lethal. Yeah, you look like a killer, all right. Hey, just a minute, Bobster said, stepping in front of Ginger. What is it you're most likely to succeed at? Chew the gopher, Bobster. I grabbed Ginger and whisked her to the dance floor. I called to Bob over my shoulder, and don't end a sentence with a preposition. I twirled Ginger so that her dress swirled out in a flowing circle. I got into the swing of things and danced the feet off various borrowed beauties. I table-hopped between dances, staying clear of Simon and Rana. But my lucky streak ended when Glass buttonholed me in the bathroom. He appeared behind me as I washed my hands. Young, I'm glad you made it. I reached in my pocket for my comb, ran it through the front and sides of my hair, and returned it to my coat. Without turning, I spoke to the mirror as I pushed back the front to get the right look. Glass, that makes my little heart thump. You know, making you happy. Simon quirked his mouth in a wry smile. Young, I wish we could find a way to be friends. I really look up to you, and I can't understand why you've always been so... I interrupted. I can't explain, Glass. I sort of felt sorry for you when Lance ragged on you all the time, but now, I don't know, being around you... Rob wanted me to give you a break. He thought people had to believe all of us liked you, so I was stuck. But one way or another, tonight, it's over. I straightened the knot on my tie. I watched Glass's face go through a series of subtle changes. First, he looked hurt, then thoughtful. Then he gave his chin that tiny jut. Maybe you didn't want to break ranks, but you let me do things for you. Remember creative writing? Maybe. Just maybe, you understand. I might get back into the system and cancel the override, just like you want to cancel any association with me. I turned around. This is the kind of shit I mean. Are you trying to blackmail me into being your friend? Glass leaned against the sink, arms crossed over his chest, and one foot crossed over the other ankle. While the gesture was supposed to look relaxed, it looked rehearsed. And his foot jiggled. It was slight, but there was a hint of the old nervous Simon. But he controlled it and continued. Face it, young. You're not pissed about blackmail at all. You're not even pissed about Rana. I know what you're so hot about. Okay, be the great fucking Swami and tell dumb little old me. You're pissed because Simon Glass, the former school joke, has more balls than you. Sometimes when Rob tells me to jump, I do it, but only when I feel like playing frog. You're a frog whether you want to be or not. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. I couldn't think. My heart drummed a war chant in my ears. Glass went on, impervious, his control real now. And I'll be able to prove it tonight. Rob wanted me to be class favorite because he wanted to shove the geek down the throats of all the socially correct. It's a game with him. Glass laughed. God, you should see your face. Young Stewart is in awe, shocked to find out that Simon Glass actually has a clue. He inspected his nails, his silence raking the room with tension. Young, the computer is a fantastic tool. It can make or break someone. Tonight you'll find out that Simon Glass is a player. A disembodied voice came over the PA. Can I have your attention, please? We'll be announcing names of school favorites in about 2 minutes. Sorry, we have to cut this short, young. Destiny awaits. He pushed the door and strode out without a backward glance. I stood, my head throbbing in anger and confusion. I rinsed my face with cold water. With a suddenness that left me breathless, I snapped to what Glass had just said. I hurried out the door, hoping that Glass was just shining me. But my gut knew he wasn't. Chapter 27. The worst part. The expression on Young's face when he looked at me. The bat was still in his hand, and there was blood on his cheek. And in his eyes was realization. Knowledge of things nobody that age should have. No, I haven't seen him since. He'll be living with Coop for a while. Until he gets his bearings, Coop says. I talk to Coop often, but I won't go see Young when he gets out. That's over. It was over before. Rana Perry. Everyone sat at the tables, faces turned expectantly toward the stage. I stood in the shadows and wispy clouds at the far side of the commons, watching from the sidelines. Deputy Dog stood in front of a small set of bleachers on the stage, the risers covered with glittered cotton batting carrying out the cloud theme. He clutched a fistful of envelopes, each decorated with a bright red wax seal. "We'll start with the freshman class." Freshman class favorites are... He paused for a moment of drama, then slid his index finger under the flap of the envelope and broke the seal. The drums rolled and crashed, and Deputy announced the names. Spotlights searched the tables to find the winners. I didn't even know the girl. She had long brown hair and covered her face with her hands as she giggled and blushed. When she removed her hands and stood up, I could see the glint of braces. She was lanky and slightly clumsy, like a spring colt. The boy was Lance Ansley's little brother, tall and gangly with a hint of his brother's former swagger. I scanned the room but didn't see Lance. Sophomores were announced without my awareness. I watched Simon, sitting easy and smiling, leaning over to comment to Rob as the winners took places on the risers. I looked back to Deputy Dog as he opened the envelope for junior class favorite,